Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Man, this is a little overwhelming for me, to be honest with you. It's taken 20 years, I'm not counting, just 20 years, to get to CIU to speak in chapel. And man, such fond memories of this place. It's a little overwhelming to be standing on this stage and be here and think back, and a lot's happened in 20 years. I'll tell you a little bit of my story, but thank you, Rick Swift, for inviting me to come. Dr. Smith, thank you. I know he had to step out. Olshine, in the last 20 years, I've been back on campus a few times because of Dr. David Olshine and the youth ministry department that's gotten me here. So what a great, great whole department that is. So much fun. Thank you. My heroes are here, to be honest with you. If I get emotional, forgive me. Some of them are still here. Some have gone to be with the Lord. And some are scattered throughout Columbia and around the world. And it's amazing. This place is amazing. And I'm not sure you fully get that yet as a student here, whether you're in the undergrad or the grad school. I don't know if you fully get how great this place is and the training, the biblical worldview that you're getting here and missions-mindedness and all that is going to come in handy down the road as you get in the trenches of ministry or out in the workplace or in the business field, wherever you end up. It's going to be amazing what God does. Well, my wife and I came from Michigan to South Carolina to go to seminary here, and we had to change some language. So y'all fixing to get some sweet tea. We had to figure that out. And I made a rookie mistake yesterday coming from the airport from Charlotte to Columbia, and I pulled into a Chick-fil-A. It's Sunday. Yeah, see, you guys are slow. I mean, you're gonna catch up later. It's gonna all come to you, these jokes that I have down the road here. But we're gonna go a long way this week. We're gonna talk about why church. And we're gonna get in the trenches of talking about why church, and we're gonna unpack that. And I know in a room this size, the group this size, that there are varied opinions and emotions around the local church. Trust me, I do too. And I'm a lead pastor in Colorado. And so there's going to be all sorts of things. How many of you are close to graduation? Raise your hand. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel. How many of you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel at all? How many of you see the tunnel at the end of the tunnel? Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. I'm going to give you a little encouragement. I'm going to be raw and real with you this week. I'm just going to let it all out. You ready? So when I was at CIU in the seminary, graduated in 1997, I failed Greek the first time I took it. No joke. Failed Greek the first time. When you fail Greek at Columbia Biblical Seminary, you start to question your call to ministry. I mean, seriously, I was wondering what God is up to. What is going on? I'm a young married. We just came here from Michigan. What? And I failed Greek. Am I out of ministry? Is God still have something for me? I took it the second time. Did fine. I'm not going to point any fingers, any professors. I'm just saying. But it was easier the second time around. And I hope that's encouraging to you. We're going to get to know each other this week as we keep pressing forward. Let me tell you about my family. Here comes a family photo, or a few of them. I'm married to Lori, 23 years. She's gorgeous. I'll tell you more about her in a minute. And then Lillian, Levi, Lara, and we don't have my chocolate lab in here. It's Lindor. So you figure out which one doesn't belong. Sometimes I'm called Lef in our family, just to get that going. But man, I just love these kids, 18-year-old, 15-year-old, 10-year-old, and my 18-year-old's looking at colleges right now and going through that journey, and my 15-year-old's a freshman. They both run cross country in high school and are doing really well with that. My daughter's boyfriend is super fast on the cross country team and just cruising. It's so much fun to watch those guys run. But we're having fun. I'm gonna tell you more about my story as we keep pressing on. But let me pray and ask God to really do something special this week and today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for those songs that declare truth, that are real. And Jesus, you are worth it all. And I'm so grateful for the foundation that I got at this school with a biblical worldview and were professors who loved you, administration who loved you, and continue to do so today. And they modeled it and they showed it off. And I'm so grateful for people like Rick Swift and Olshine and Dr. Smith and Bill Jones and Terry Holbert back there and Larkin. Man, those guys are awesome. And some are rejoicing with you now. And Lord, we just ask that you in the next few minutes would grab hold of our hearts. Help us to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, 2 weeks before I came down to Columbia, South Carolina to go to seminary, my wife and I got married. 2 weeks before I came. And we went on a two-week honeymoon. That's the only reason it was 2 weeks. And we packed up a truck and came down here and stayed off Hatton Road over there behind everything and those little duplexes. And it was the greatest deal. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how much I spent, but it was really cheap back there. Two-story duplex for two of us. It was unbelievable. And so I got married, and I'll never forget 2 weeks before coming down here and standing at the bottom of the aisle like I am right here, and before the service started, we planned it out so we'd have some time together before that whole thing happened. So I watched her pass in front of the door, and I watched the doors open, and she's in a white dress, curly blonde hair, a little hint of yellow in the middle of her eyes, or bluish green. I mean, she was gorgeous, beautiful, and she came down the aisle. No one else is in the sanctuary but just me at the bottom. I had to pick my jaw up off the ground and drool, wipe it off. And she came because she's gorgeous and beautiful, and we look forward to this day. And we spent time together and just prayed, and it was beautiful before the service happened. And we walk through that whole thing and commit to life for one another. And it's been quite a roller coaster ride in 23 years in our marriage. But I love her so much, and it just all of that just made me think about this. And this is the thing you're going to have to think about all week long, is how much more does Jesus love his bride? How much more does Jesus, picture Jesus standing at the bottom of an aisle as the church, the bride of Christ, comes down to meet him? How much more does Jesus, like, drool over his bride and get excited about his bride and can't wait to embrace his bride and can't wait to be with his bride? I imagine Jesus up in heaven with his daddy saying every day, is today the day? Is today the day? Do I get to go get him today? Do I get to go get him today? I mean, he's telling Abba Father, do I get to go get them? I can't wait to go get them because we've been preparing this place for them, and I can't wait to have the bride of Christ come be with us forever, forever. And I think Jesus, the Son, is asking his Father, because he's always submissive to the Father, right? Even when he's on earth. I think there's constant daily dialogue around Jesus and the Father going, can I go get him? Can I go bring him home? Because it's kind of tough down there. It's rocky, but it's your mission. But Jesus, the Son, he doesn't know the time he's going to come. And is it cloudy? I don't know. If it's cloudy, better chance. I don't know. That's what the Bible says. Going to go back the same way he left. And I don't know. But he's anticipating being with his bride forever and ever and ever and ever. And we can't even get our minds around that. That's mind-blowing. When you sing songs like we just did a few seconds ago around Jesus, well, how many of you love Jesus? Yeah, the extrovert right there just let a little, oop. All the introverts, nope, not going to say anything, but I'm going to raise my hand. So here's what you're going to have to wrestle with all week long, because we're just going to get to the point. You ready? If you love Jesus, then you have to love the church. Why? Because Jesus loves the church. If you love Jesus and you want to love the things Jesus loves, then you got to love the church. Now, you guys are theologians because you're at Columbia International University, right? And so now you're going to go, well, of course he loves capital C church. You know what I'm saying? I mean, of course he loves global, universal, capital C church. Of course he does. You're right, he does. But he also loves small c churches. He's also the bride of those churches. The ones that you can name, the people that you can picture in your mind right now that you've been to and visited and seen and listened to and sing songs with, I mean, and do fellowship with. Those small c churches, Jesus loves them too. And so he gives us, there's a little picture. I want to fast forward into the future because sometimes you got to catch the vision before you can get there. And so let me give you the great big vision all the way to Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. It says this, the marriage of the Lamb has come. standing at the bottom of the aisle. The bride is coming in. The church is arriving. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. The church is ready. It was granted her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and pure. And a couple chapters later, at the very end, Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Friends, if you love Jesus, you're going to be there. You're going to see it. You're going to experience it because you are part of the bride. And the bride and the groom are going to get together. Even Paul had something to say about this whole thing of the connection with the bride and the groom, Jesus and his bride, the local church, because he's writing to a local church. He's writing to the first church of Corinth. And he says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him." He's speaking to a local church. "I want to present you to him." Oh, he's not done yet, because the first church at Ephesus gets the same kind of deal. And you might hear this at weddings said, but the point is a little bit different at the end. So pay attention. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." I mean, the bride of Christ is such a powerful metaphor. It's no wonder that marriages are under attack in our world today. Because this is greater than just this idea of marriage and this commitment for life and this. I mean, it's a metaphor. It's an image. My wife and I together is an image of what the church ought to look like with Jesus. I mean, it's powerful. And it's on display for the world to see. So no wonder it's under attack, because we are a she. We are a she, and he is a him. And he's coming back for her, us, the bride of Christ. We're getting ready for the groom, and we're doing it through washing of the word of God. And you're getting trained in that right here at this place. And it plays into it. And man, when we get there, there's going to be loud music, guaranteed. Going to be loud music. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be the best food ever. Best food ever, because it's going to be Jesus that we're consuming. I mean, it's going to be an awesome picture. Best reception you've ever been to at any wedding ever is going to be for all eternity in heaven. It's going to be the church and Jesus together and us worshiping the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world forever. It's going to be this unbelievable picture. I wanted to share that with you up front. Because now let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was this passionate young guy who was trained at a great school and had just been married, and he came to be trained. And when he left this training, his passion for Jesus is off the charts. His wisdom was kind of probably low, but he headed out the door, and he would go on staff at several churches, local churches, the Bride of Christ. He'd land in one particular church on a huge youth ministry staff that was unbelievable, and hundreds of students and all sorts of stuff going on. It was awesome. He would get a raise in December and be invited into the office of his boss in January, and he would tell him, "I need to let you go." And the guy would ask the boss, "Are you firing me?" He said, "Yes, I need to let you go." That was devastating. He cried on the shoulders of his boss, and he'd walk into the parking lot, make a phone call to his wife and say, "I don't know what just happened, but I've just been fired from a job." Well, he'd pick himself back up, and he would head to a friend's church across several states, and he would land on staff there and watch how this young church was exploding with growth from a school, and they bought land and built a building. There's 3,000 people that go to that church today. And over the course of that time, the leadership curve of that pastor going from zero to thousands was pretty steep. And pride got a hold of him, and over the course of 6 months, 10 staff members would leave. Well, this young, passionate guy from school would hang in there with his wife and hold on and think some things would change. A new executive pastor was hired, and he would be invited into his office, and the executive pastor would tell this young, passionate guy, "Hey, I'm going to have to let you go." Why? Because you're friends with those 10 guys that left earlier. Don't think you're going to be able to survive. Fired twice from a local church. from the Bride of Christ. He'd pick himself up and walk through that whole journey with his wife and have to wrestle with, what does this mean? Do we leave ministry? Do we stay in ministry? What do we do? And he would find himself across several states again and staff at another church, call him crazy. But for 8 years, he was on staff there. And towards the end of that seventh year, the conversations were being made with him and the senior pastor who had been there a long time, several decades, about him being part of the succession plan to take over the church. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like overnight, there was a change of opinion. And he and another pastor who had been there 11 years were invited to an elder meeting one snowy January night. And he'd go in knowing what was going to come because his friend who was on staff told him. And they would say, we need to let the two of you go. None of this because of integrity or performance or budgetary reasons. We just need to let you go. You know, if you've been fired 3 times from a church, you got some explaining to do. Especially when you're in a lead pastor position today. This is my story, friends. This is my story, and when I left Columbia Biblical Seminary, there's no way in a million years I would have thought that would be the road. That would be the road. You're going to be fired 3 times from the local church, the Bride of Christ. Not because of your integrity or your performance or budgetary reasons, but because of, other reasons. And here I am as a poster family and a poster guy. I should have left God in the local church a long time ago. But here I am, is passionate about the local church. Why? Because Jesus is passionate about the local church. See, listen, you're going to have some resolve when you leave this place because you're not going to know what's next. Heaven forbid, I hope none of you get fired from a local church. Maybe some of you have. I can relate to that. I understand. But man, we are the poster family that should have left, but I can't. Even though I've been broken and bruised and burned by the local church and her leadership, I'm committed, even more so than ever before, that we need to create healthy local churches for people and fight against and have accountability around pride and bad leadership and the people surrounding that. Because, man, especially when it grows, it can mess with you, can it? And so maybe some of you find yourself in a broken, bruised place. Maybe you've experienced some of that stuff before in your own life. Maybe you're going to experience that somewhere down the road. Let me fast forward. In John chapter 21, let me tell you this story because it kind of sets some things up for me. In John chapter 21, you know the story. You've studied it in class. This is the episode when Jesus is on the shore and the guys have gone back out to the fishing business and Peter and his buddies are out fishing again and they can't catch anything all night long again. And this guy on the shore yells out to him and says, hey, put the net on the other side of the boat. Well, that sounds familiar. Peter immediately knows it's Jesus, and so he puts his outer garment back on and gets in the water. I don't know about you, but I normally take clothes off before I get in the water, but he put them on. Maybe he thought he was going to step out and walk on water again. Sploosh, he doesn't. He swims to shore, meets up with Jesus, and has breakfast with them, and this dialogue happens with Peter and Jesus. And you know it, but let me just walk you through it, because why does the dialogue happen with Peter? In John chapter 21, Jesus appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Peter went back to fishing. Jesus appears on the shore, and all the disciples throw out your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find something. And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because they caught such a large number of fish. Peter realizes it's Jesus. He gets out of the boat and swims to shore and hugs Jesus, no doubt, because it's the third time he's seen him since he rose from the dead. And so Jesus says to Peter this little dialogue. I got to walk it through with you. I got to slow it down. You got to understand. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than what? More than the boats and the nets and the disciples and everything. More than all that. Do you love me the most? Then I want you to do something for me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to feed my lambs. What is that about? I want you to be a shepherd of the flock. I want you to feed the lambs, the young ones, the ones pasture the lambs. In their pasture, I want you to pasture the lambs. Jesus said to him again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he'd respond, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Well, then take care of my sheep. The ones a little older, take care of them. Help them to grow in maturity. The third time, he gets a little exasperated, Peter, because it's the third time. Maybe it was connected to the 3 denials. Not sure, maybe. But the third time, he's a little uptight. Like, what are you talking about? Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Provide a spiritual meal for them, care for them, shepherd them, because you know the rest of the story because you've read the book of Acts. You know that Peter would stand up on those teaching steps outside the temple after Pentecost and 3,000 people would come to know Jesus and they'd be baptized right there on the spot and the church would be born. And Peter, Pastor Peter, would be helping oversee this whole thing. So listen, friends, this is what you're going to have to wrestle with this week. You're going to have to drill down with the Lord. Tomorrow's going to be a great day because it's prayer day. CIU prayer day. I mean, I can't wait to get to tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. But here you guys are. You're going to have to wrestle with this. In the same conversation that Peter had with Jesus, Jesus had with Peter, and he says to him, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" And we'd all say, yeah, I love you. I want to sing those worship songs. Then I want you to do something. I want you to take care of my sheep. I want you to be involved in a local church to care for my sheep. No matter whether you're heading into full-time vocational ministry, whether you're heading to the business field, every single one of you has to be involved in a local church. You have to. Why? Because you love Jesus. Are you with me? You're going to have to wrestle with this, friends. You're going to have to wrestle with this because I know inside of you, there's this, but I don't want that. I want to meet with two friends at Starbucks and open up the Bible and call it a church. That's not church, friends. There's no leadership structure there. There's no accountability, really. Biblical accountability. There's no Lord's Supper or baptisms or child dedications. There's no life of the body that happens in that space. You're going to have to wrestle with, do you love Jesus? Because if you love Jesus, you want to love the things Jesus is about. I'm not talking about all the million other things Jesus loves. I'm just drilling down on the local church. You're going to have to say, it doesn't matter if I walk through some really, really tough places with the local church and whether the leadership is above reproach or not, or whether there's integrity, whether the methods line up with your personal preferences or not. You're going to have to get over all that and figure out, how am I going to be involved and make an impact in this local church? Are you tracking with me? That's what's going to be hard for you in your heart this week, because you're going to have to drill down on that. So I want to begin to pray for you. Begin, I say, because we're here together this week, and be able to have you have some individual time with the Lord this week, you to have a group of friends and really drill down and, man, how much do we love Jesus, guys? How much do we love Jesus? Then we have to be involved in local church, because this is what Jesus talked about. Let's pray together. Take a minute and just express back to Jesus exactly how you're feeling right now. For some of you, you're wrestling. For some of you, you're having a hard time with it. For some of you, you're wondering whether what I'm talking about is true. For some of you, you're so fired up for the local church and your passion's off the charts and you're growing in wisdom as you're here. Everybody's in a different place. Take a moment and just tell the Lord what you're feeling and thinking right now. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the mission that you've given us that we have memorized. Go into all the world and make disciples. What, in what context do we do that? Well, the local church. It's not the only place, but man, we want to make disciples who are connected to the local church who advance the mission of God on this planet. Lord, it's the bride of Christ. So Lord, help us to obey you. Help us to walk out of this place. Maybe we're going to have a wrestling match with you today or tomorrow or this week. But Lord, let it lead to action. Change our hearts to want to be engaged. God, look, it's so easy for all of us to evaluate the local church 24/7, 365, all the time. Because many of us are heading into ministry, and that's all we do, is just evaluate the church. Lord, help us to stop. Help us to rest. Help us just to love the bride of Christ and all the quirky people that are in it, including me. And so, God, would you do an amazing thing through the power of the Holy Spirit this week in our lives? Set us loose to advance the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.